spiritual love. Let's get together in prayer. It's a couple of things. The 4th of July is coming up. I really appreciate Tish's attitude of the fellowship of the assembly. Tish is inviting us all out, her ranch, which I think is brave on her part. But she's invited us all out. And let us know. Let's see. Okay. You have the little handout. Starts around 3 o'clock. There's going to be some fireworks out near, I guess, near your area. Okay. And so if you haven't been to Tish's, I really want to plan on going. It's a very beautiful area, and I guarantee you'll see it. You can see a million stars from her ranch. So we'll enjoy the fireworks and the end of that kind of thing. Oh, okay. All right, very good. Okay. What do you want me to stop by and buy? All right. Last night we introduced a study with looking at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Thessalonians and 2nd Thessalonians, where Paul said that they were the ideal type of church that he wanted, and the reason for that being is that they were doing the faith and the love properly. And so with that in mind, now let's move into our study tonight as we continue, and let's test ourselves to see if we are in faith and trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us about this love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come together tonight and to open up your word, to open up Scripture's Heavenly Father, and find the goal that to characterize our life, that we belong to Jesus Christ. It is a word, Heavenly Father, that the adversary has greatly confused and brought confusion. We pray, Father, that we might understand it in the enlightenment of your Spirit, that it might become a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the problems with love, or spiritual love, or love as a new commandment and as the seal of a Christian, is that most people will have an ideal of what love is, and it doesn't even come near that of the Scriptures. And this is true of the body of Christ. Even the body of Christ will have their ideas about love, what it means. And it's so easy, as you know, to walk in the flesh and therefore to have the flesh try to produce this love that we've been talking about. And one of the great problems with this love, there are a lot of problems. One of the problems about the love is that there are various categories of love on earth, namely three that we're going to look at on earth. And those three categories of love that exist on earth right now are: one, there is divine love. Divine love exists on planet Earth. And then secondly, we have human love. And these are defined by their source. In other words, by that from which they flow out from. And there is a love on Earth that flows out from members of the Godhead. There is a love on Earth that flows from man. And then there is what we've been studying, spiritual love. And spiritual love, we're in the midst of studying, and these are the three categories of love that exist on earth. And this is one of the problems of understanding the new commandment, one of the problems about love itself. Everybody has an idea of what love is. Everybody has an idea of how love ought to be. And so this becomes a big problem and in exercising love. And what people think is love. Oftentimes, what is construed to be loving as Christ loved is not even close to loving as Christ loved. A lot of human psychology today gets involved with this love, and that adds a great problem. A lot of people have their love from things that happen in their life, their family life will influence what they think about love. Their marital relationships will influence what they think about love. And so it's one of those things that's greatly confusing. And that's why, people, so many Christians will always, when you're in that vice, where push comes to shove, and you're really in the battle and you're in the heat of it, and the bombs are going off all around you, and by bombs I mean just turmoil in your life, voices and people and things, and you're really in the midst of a battle, it is so easy to forget the new commandment and revert over to dealing with each other in a manner that is not given to us in Scripture. And I challenge people to show me these things, pastors and people that I talk with, but deal with each other according to righteousness, according to where we will judge one another. Now, why would that be? Why in the midst of the pressure and the bombs going off and you're just not clear on what to think and what to do? You really don't know what to do. Why is it easier to go over and deal with each other on this? The reason is very simple. Because when I'm going to deal with somebody in law and in righteousness, I know what they are. I know what is right and I know what is wrong. I can go to verses. This is a sin. This is wrong. This is a violation of God's policy. This is wrong. You're wrong, and I can see it here. Therefore, I have to deal with you on the basis of this. To deal with it on the basis of love, because the Bible doesn't define love. Therefore, it becomes very abstruse. It becomes very vague. I don't really know what to do when I deal with somebody on the basis of love. And it's nice when everything's going fine. But when we're, like I said, when we're really pressed into conflict, then to deal with people on love, we get all taken up in the turmoil of the battle, because let me assure you, you will be tested in the area, as you know, you will be tested in the area of spiritual love. And part of that test is that you'll slip back into law. You'll slip back into dealing with each other on the basis of law, or the basis of right and wrong. And again, the reason is, it's so simple. I know it well. Let me give an example. A lot of times in the midst of our Christian life, we will find ourselves slipping back into the flesh. We're walking along in the spirit-filled life. We're walking along in the new man, and he is a new man. And we're thrown into a great conflict. We're thrown into a great struggle. And in the midst of it, it's so easy to switch over to go to the old man, to go to the flesh, because he has been around all my life. I know him well. I know how to function with him. I know how to deal with the old man. I know what he will do, whatever it may be. If it is, control, hurt people, angry, or retreat, run away, different ways of getting our way, different ways of protecting ourselves from hurt and harm and being taken advantage of. We know the old man very, very well. We don't know the new man that well because he's new and he's spiritual. But it's so easy to go back into the flesh because I do know him and I know him well, and I'm very comfortable with the old man. So this is not you and this is not me. This is what will be done away with the resurrection body. But I know him well on earth. And so I can easily go back. That's what I'm trying to say here. Is that to walk in love, I desire to do that. Believer may desire to do that. But in the midst of a real battle, and I just don't know what to do, what I'd rather do is to revert back to righteousness, because I feel like Scripture should say, if you deal in righteousness, it will never fail. It doesn't say that. It says if you deal in love, it will never fail. Love never fails. Nowhere does it say that we are to deal with each other under righteousness, meaning to judge one another and deal with each other on that basis. But we feel like it should, and especially when we're in a turmoil. So we have to understand what spiritual love will and will not do. Oftentimes we think we're dealing in love when actually we're dealing in righteousness and law with each other. And so we need to understand what we're dealing with when we're talking about spiritual love, human love, and divine love. Now, I want to talk about titles for a little bit, divine, human, spiritual, and dealing with this. I use titles so we have a handle on what we're talking about. If I were to say, for an example, if I were to announce Sunday that this Tuesday, Wednesday, we are going to study sexual love. Now, even if somebody may not know fully what that means, everybody has an idea of what we're going to talk about. They probably have a packed house. But we would know. We're going to talk about something dealing with sex and the man and woman relationship, that kind of thing. Well, that's the idea with these titles and dealing with titles, not to be cute or clever, but it's to help orient us to what we are in the midst of talking about. Now, there is, as I have on the board, there is divine love. Let's just say a few things about it. It's not the momentum of our study, even though what we are studying comes from this. First of all, God does not choose to love. God is love. Love is part of the whole makeup of God. And we dealt with that a couple of weeks ago when we went through the essence of God and dealing with all of the attributes of God. But God is this. That's why one of the primary reasons I always exhort you in dealing with love, that you cannot understand spiritual love divorced of understanding a person. You can't talk about spiritual love in an abstract concept, an abstract environment. You'll get in trouble. Love is known in a person. And that person begins with God. God is love. Secondly, God is the infinite and immutable. His love is therefore infinite. His love is immutable, which means that his love cannot improve. His love cannot change. And God's love is eternal in nature. It's therefore, if you're following the thought process, it's eternal in purpose. And that's going to have a great influence on the purpose of spiritual love. One of the reasons people don't want to deal with spiritual love in conflict and chaos is that we live in the now. We live in the flesh. What we must understand is that this love, spiritual love, is related to the spiritual realm. It's related to eternity. So you want to get that in your mind in regard to this love. But God's love is related to the eternal. And then the third principle, the magnitude, direction, and effect of God's love is seen at the cross. And I get to where we ended last night, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The direction of God's love is the world. The magnitude or the measurability of God's love is that he gave the most precious thing he could give, and that was his Son. The impact or the effect of that love is eternal life or life given to mankind. So this is the magnitude, or this is the makeup of God's love. Secondly, there is human love. There is human love on earth, and human love comes, of course, from human beings, from the members of the human race. We're going to get back to this. There's a lot to be said about human love and a love that comes from a human being. Books are written about it, and unfortunately, a lot of people confuse the third category with the second. In other words, out of the human being can actually produce spiritual love. That's not true. The flesh cannot, nor does the flesh will, and I'll show you this. The flesh doesn't even desire to produce this love. Love of the human will, love of that comes from the human being is oriented to the human being. And that's why we can talk a lot about the integrity of the human being, depends on the subject of the human being, and a lot of things that people, a lot of problems that people have psychologically, emotionally with human love, they bring into the spiritual realm and get into a great deal of trouble. Thirdly, there is on planet Earth spiritual love, what I call spiritual love. A lot of reasons for calling it this. One reason is because it comes only from the new spiritual creation. And we are new creatures in Christ. We are a spiritual creature, and therefore spiritual love. Also, it's from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being spiritual produces this spiritual love. So this is a love that can come only from a spiritual being, only under the power of the Spirit. This is the matter of our subject. However, even though spiritual love is our subject matter, it is very important that you understand human love to some degree. Because human love, it is from human love so often that people want to try to come to an understanding of spiritual love. And let me start off by saying this. You can't do that because people, this is where you get into a great deal of trouble. Spiritual love is foolishness to the world. Now, some people, some cynics, been dumped on in love relationships, say that all love is foolishness. But most people don't have that attitude about it. But they don't want to be foolish in their love. They don't want to be foolish. They don't want to be taken advantage of. They don't want to be walked over. All of these kinds of things. And so when you come to spiritual love, this is a love that looks foolish to the world. And it is going to look foolish. And you are going to be taken advantage of. I promise you. You are going to be maltreated if you desire to have spiritual love flow through you. You will be. Look at the cross of Christ. This is what it cost him. Always go back to him as your pattern and example. But what we try to do, we try to come through our human realm and understanding spiritual love, and it simply cannot be. And a lot of preachers, pastors, theologians, seminary professors, writers of books, in discussing the love of the given, like in the New Commandment, they do a lot up here. And that's a great tragedy, because that's not the love that is being talked about. And when you talk about how this love, human love, can hurt you, and you try to make that analogous to this, you're wrong. You're wrong. You see. You're not going to make it. Because this love is totally different. This love is totally different than this love. This love is totally different than human love. Either way you want to word it. But if you try to understand this by human love, you're going to get into a great deal of trouble about spiritual love. And this is why people often will revert to law. And this is why people in spiritual love often have to run to psychotherapy and counseling and all of this kind of thing. I'm not saying there isn't a condition, circumstance, maybe where that isn't valuable. But in most cases, it is not. It is because people have come from human love to understand spiritual love, and that love has been hurt, therefore a lot of breakdown occurs. That does not occur in spiritual love. Human love, for an example, is not long-suffering. Spiritual love is long-suffering as to what it does in the soul. I've added a lot to the various impacts of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians, which I want to get to very quickly in this momentum of our study. Now, human love is common almost every member of the human race, unbeliever, believer, and even as far as believers. Believers will drift back and forth. This is why, people, it's so vital. It's so vital to understand salvation too. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is as vital a issue as gospel salvation one for the unbeliever. It is so crucial. How can I be saved from eternal damnation? How can I be delivered? There's no other truth that is important to an unbeliever than that. But on the other hand, for the Christian, there is no truth more important to us than how to be filled with the Spirit, because it is that spirituality upon which spiritual love depends. It totally depends on that. So the believer must understand these things. Now, I want to deal with human love for a moment. I want to lay some groundwork, because I'll be going back and forth with it. So let's talk a few moments about human love. Okay, Herman, why is it spending a great deal of time on divine love? One primary reason. Because there will be no conflict or contradiction in your understanding of spiritual love and divine love. See? But there is going to be a great deal of contradiction if you try to understand spiritual love by understanding human love. Secondly, I will be covering divine love all through this. And this love is, in a sense, divine. The spiritual love is, in a sense, divine love because it's given by a member of the Godhead. But primarily, I want to have a grasp on human love. I want us to have a grasp on it so that we can know. People, you can know, like this. You can know when you're functioning by human love and when you're functioning by spiritual love. You can know. I'll show you this. And it's very important for husbands and wives to know. Very important. There's certain things about human love that will let you know I'm in human love, and there are certain things about spiritual love will let you know I'm in spiritual love. What I want to do very quickly so that we can communicate here, there are three categories of human love. I subdivided it into three categories. Now, the categories that I've looked at are based upon the first principle of a force. They're based upon direction. Direction. This is not meant to be a course in psychology 101. This is just to give us a biblical, I'll show you some of these things in the scriptures, a biblical understanding, a understanding of human love, and it has a great deal to do with direction that we're going to be looking at in this regard. Now, three directions. There are three directions of human love. And now, watch this. The three directions, we're going to know three directions for three categories of human love. What this means is, in your life, if we understand that all love, divine love, spiritual love, human love, that all love is a force operating inside of us. This means, if you're understanding love, this means that there is a push-pull relationship going on inside of you. Going on inside of each one of us. There is a push and a pulling, a force of love in these directions in your life. And the magnitude of love in either of these directions determines a multitude of decisions that people make. And I'm talking about unbeliever or believer functioning in human love. Human, or all love, but love is a force, it's a push and a pull. Therefore, it has great influence on the decisions that we'll make in life. I have a greater love for doing this than doing this. I will do this, whatever the greater love is. And we generally think in a man-woman relationship, but like the Bible scripture says, what is the root of all evil? The love of money. So it's just, if I have a love, even if I haven't classified it, even if I'm not aware that the love of money is the greatest force pushing and pulling on my life, people, do you realize what it'll do? It'll influence your church. It'll influence your marriage. It'll influence your social life. It'll influence everything. It just will influence everything about a person's life. If a person has this love of money, to use that, because we all know it from scripture, if I have this love of money, it's the push and pull of that love of money that is going to just determine so many decisions that I make in life. People, husbands often, I use husbands, it's true today now of women, so I'm more classic in this, but the stories are on and on about men who just love making money more than they did their wife or their family. They had a love of money. And it just didn't matter. There could be big things going on in the family, but something had to be done at work. Work came first. Now, there is a point where work does come first. We're all aware of that. It comes ahead in certain cases. But I'm talking about as a momentum of life. Just that love of money and that love of work, and I've got to go do this. And this really is a greater force, greater magnitude, measurability than anything else than family and church or even physical self. People work themselves to death. I've never understood that, but I'm told they do. And so we're dealing with something that's going to push and pull, make decisions. Now, for you and I, let me just quickly make the point. Spiritual love, this is true spiritual love. If you have spiritual love in you, it's a push and pull that will determine the decisions that you make in life. it under pressure, difficulty, as well as good times. It's going to have a great influence in regard to our life. Okay, now the three directions and three classifications of human life for just simplicity. Here is human life, and just to simplify these things so that we can have a conversation about it, there is, first of all, phileo love, phileo. And then there is what I'm just simply going to call romantic love. And then third, there is value love. So these are to give us some handles that we can talk about through our study. All right, what is phileo love in the human realm? Phileo love, this is a love basically toward family and friends. This is basically, what is Philadelphia. That's the city of what? Brotherly love. That is, so you have phileo is basically toward one's parents. It is toward family. It is toward friends. Toward friends. And these kinds of things. Now, this love, like all categories of love in the human realm, depend on the character, depend on the value, but it depends on the character, depends on this person as to the level of push and pull that these are going to have on one's life. Now, what's so important about this to you and I? There are many Christians whose phileo love, this is biblical word, toward family, parents, friends, relatives, this type of thing, is stronger than their spiritual love. This is very important, and this is true, by the way, of both romantic and value. But there are many people whose whole human love, this, the whole classification, is stronger than spiritual love. When they have to make a decision between those things that are spiritual, their relationship with Christ and doing the will of God is second to the push and pull of their human love, their phileo love. This is why, getting into magnitude, the measurability of love, this is why Christ says what? You must love me more than even your family. Husband must love me more than his wife. Wife more than husband. These kinds of things. But there are many Christians who do not do that. Their phileo love is stronger in the human realm than their spiritual love. And they will set aside the spiritual love for their phileo love. And this is seen in a lot of different ways. There are people, Christians, whose phileo love and the outflow of the phileo love toward these is stronger than spiritual love. And spiritual love should, by definition, be much stronger. But there are people, for an example, one of the things we're going to see about this love is that spiritual love is that spiritual love is that force that will allow you to forgive 70 times 7. And to forgive, we're going to look at various passages when we come to forgiveness in our First John study. And there's a passage, a person comes to you one first time in a day and he repents of something he's done and you are to forgive him. He comes a second time, same day, same sin, same problem, and he repents, you'll forgive him again. This goes on and on and on through the day. I'll show you. Now, human love can't do that. Human love reaches a point where it says, look, right has got, the law here, the right and wrong, has got to step in somewhere. I can't let you take advantage of me. I become an issue. And this right and wrong has to overcome love. Otherwise, love becomes sloppy. So I've got to revert to this. Read the scriptures. What does the scripture say? You won't find that. But that's what a lot of people do. And yet they will turn around with their family, for example, and they will forgive a family member over and over and over, but not a fellow Christian in the assembly. Oh no, oh no. He's under this higher standard, and boom. People, that's why the new commandment is love one another. Because we are going to expect more of a Christian than we do the unbeliever or even a weak believer in our home. This would be much stronger than this, but it isn't to a lot of Christians. Well, you don't seem to understand. I have to sleep with this bum. I don't have to sleep at a Christian church. You don't understand. I have to go to family reunions. You don't understand. If I don't do it this way with this guy, the whole family's going to have me. And on and on and on. People, all of those things are what spiritual love is about between us, one another, as we're going to see. So there is phileo love. And phileo love, family, parents, friends, and we could get into a lot of study of these kinds of things in regard to scripture, and we will as we go along our study. I'm introducing these things now. Romantic love. What will you give up for romantic love? Would you give up a relationship with Christ for romantic love? Be careful. That's how the whole thing started out of the garden. Adam loved Eve. And he said, I'll go. Because I know that what's going to happen to you because you've eaten. And because of my love for you, I will go. He gave it up. He gave up a relationship with the Lord, with God, and took on the sin nature because of love. That's why he did it. Be careful. I'm relating this romantic love in the analogy that Christ uses, where he is the groom and we're the bridegroom. Christ gave up kingdom, as it were, deity, to die on a cross and be identified as sin. Romantic love, people, is powerful. Do whatever you want. Laugh at it. Say whatever you want. Kingdoms are lost on it. Kingdoms are given up on it. People actually will lose their life, lose all their possessions, all of these kinds of things in love. Unfortunately, you and I have a greater damage than to romantic love. You and I have Hollywood. And Hollywood has made romantic love something passionate and wild and all of these things that just doesn't line up with Scripture even in the realm of romantic love. But we're a villain. People, a lot of times, young people and even older people, but all ages go through, and we get this Hollywood idea of what, if I'm in a marriage, of what that love ought to be. It ought to be hot and sweaty all the time. It ought to be exciting, and it ought to be this, and it ought to be that. That's the way Hollywood presents this thing. And I'm really not in love if that doesn't happen, boy. If there isn't just some big, quote, romantic thing about it all. And we've gotten so, our whole view, even in the human realm, our whole view of romantic love is distorted in America today. So we're in great problems in romantic love. But romantic love is that love that exists between human beings. Romantic love is a process of completion, love of that which is lacking, as it were, in ourselves. That's why the scriptures call our husband and wife, what scriptures call it? A corresponding helpmate. Corresponding helpmate. That's why the sexual activity between a man and a woman fits into a one. They become one. They blend in perfectly in becoming one match. So it is the completion, as it were. Adam lost his rib, and it's the completion concept of what's going on in romantic love, of what is lacking. It is not good that man be alone. And therefore, the whole completion process of romantic love is part of God's plan. Romantic love is part of God's plan. But when you need to keep it in this human realm, it becomes so distorted, so horrible of what it does to individuals. So we could spend a lot of time on this. Romantic love demands a great deal of study, understanding in Scripture to understand it. A great number of people get into trouble in this category of love, of romantic love. It becomes complex. David had a great problem nearly everyone, you study scripture. We're gonna sit down and at a series or something. We'll just go through and study man-woman relationship through scripture. I mean, you can't even get out of the garden and you're hit with it. And then you start going through the history and some of the things. You have the whole thing of Isaac. Well, we start with Isaac. We only know a couple of things about Isaac. Number one, we know in regard to his being offered the sacrifice of Abraham. We know, secondly, the great problem of finding him a wife. We'll be dealing with that in John 14 in a little bit. So these are things we know about Isaac. And Jacob, I mean, there is a yo-yo. This guy worked 7 years for a woman that he, in the flesh realm, fell in love with and lusted after. And Mary's got another one by trickery. He got the one that at the end of his, near the end of his life, it's going to be that one that he wants to be buried with. It will be that one that will give him the line of Christ. It will be that one that he finds all the comfort with. But it will be the other one that he just had to have. He's an ideal Pharisee. I've got to work for it. The woman God has designed, he didn't even have to work for it. He was there. We'll study about Jacob and romantic love. Of course, we know the story of Samson, all of his problems. And you just go through. And it's just all through scripture in dealing with romantic love. And so it gets really complicated. A lot of people in the area of romantic love, man, woman, and all of the sins that are related to it get real hyper in America, especially since the Victorian age. We're very hyper about romantic or physical type of sins. More so than the scriptures, but we'll come into all of those things as we go through our study. Now, no matter what you want to say about romantic love, its value or lack of integrity and so on, it is a great magnitude of force in life. And I think every one of us know that. Whatever else we want to say, all the conclusions, this one has great, great magnitude. Now, what is magnitude? That's the measurability of a force. That's the measurability of the push and pull of a force. And so this one has great magnitude in people's lives, in a lot of people's lives, not everyone's lives. So romantic love is for both the unbeliever and the born-again believer. Romantic love depends so much on the subject who does the loving. It depends on the object, who the subject is going to love. It depends on the object in the sense of this is what the subject thinks he or she desires, and then the stability of it will depend on the integrity of the subject. Love here, this is why Christians in spiritual love get into so much trouble. They go from this to try to understand spiritual love. It's one of the worst things you can do. It's try to understand spiritual love from understanding romantic love. Far better, as we're going to see. Properly understand spiritual love, and you'll understand this. And you'll understand this. Human love. Then thirdly, real quickly, there is what is called, what we're going to call, value love. And I call it that just to kind of pull everything else together, both in scripture and in individuals' lives. It depends on a person's value system, the norms and standards. It generally changes through life. We all have it. The love of one's country. Patriotism, value love. Some people have it to the point they are willing to die for their country. There's a value love. Some people do not have it at all, and you know they will retreat to some other country when a war is going on or whatever. And there's a lot wrapped up in the magnitude of one's value love. It will cause the magnitude again. The magnitude of this love, again, will influence a lot of decisions that we make in life and has a number of directions. So this is a love, that is a value love, is going to make many demands because we're all going to have a whole lot of different values in our life, in the human realm, in the flesh realm, that are going to be influential. Some people And just to kind of go through, there is a love of country. And then there is a love that influences a lot of people's decision, and they bring it into the spiritual realm. There are people who, and they mean it, I love the ocean, I love mountains, I love the desert. See? And so that is a value love that you've got to be aware of. Now, how does all of this just blend in with God's plan for our life? I think it's important. I think there are a lot of things in the person's value love and the whole makeup of a being that's part of the plan of God here and circumstantial. And that go into what God is going to do. So it isn't, none of these are bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm just showing these are human love, romantic, and value. So some people will love certain parts of the country. Certain people have a strong magnitude value love toward animals. And I mean, it determines a great deal in their life. Even in the spiritual. This love is over the spiritual realm. They pick friends. They pick everything by the whole thing of animals. See? Well, my cat doesn't like you. My dog doesn't like you. Well, I don't like you. I love that commercial. Guy comes in on TV. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit gave me this or not, but I love this commercial. Guy comes in and says, well, I sure am glad you got rid of that cat, because I felt like the cat was coming between us, and the whole thing was because he didn't smell, the litter box and all, and pretty soon looked down and the cat's there, and she got a new litter box and all that kind of junk. But the animal, the love of animals plays a great part in this thing. People have a love toward music. We all have a love of music. And that influences a person's life. So there are a lot of things that go on in life. Now, one thing that I just learned I can't say, and because we were just corrected and had our hand whacked whenever we said it at the table, my mother, her big deal was, you don't love food. Boy, I love this. No, you don't love food. Okay, we don't love food. Boy, I really like this. All right? So I really like a lot of food. I don't love any food. But we have just so many things that we do love in life. Now, is this important? Yeah. That's the love of money. That's the root of all evil, people. That's in Scripture. The love of money. A value love, the love of money. Here, well, romantic love, husband and wife more than, phileo love, family. What did Christ say? I came to divide family. That's a tough one. That's a tough one that you don't want to start a new believer off on that one. That's hard to understand. God looks like the bad guy there. God looks like the bad guy if he's going to come in and separate a family. Why would God do that? See? God's the great proponent of the family. Just different things you do and things that come to you. But I get involved in these people that the crusade is not, the spirit-filled life and producing this love. It's like family or anti-abortion or this kind of thing. When I get into those with the family, I always say, well, I thought Christ said he came to divide families. Well, that doesn't mean that. Born in there. I just love watching them get off going because I know what it means. But it's just, you've got to understand where these fit into our whole spiritual being and spiritual life. And be aware of these things. Be aware of the magnitude of these things in a person's life. So we have the love of money. And we have a great love in regard. Here we could all, just for put it down, under value love, one of the greatest objects of value love is self. Great love of self. There's a great love of the glory. Scripture talks about you love the glory of man over the glory of God. You love the glory given to you by man than you do the glory given to you by God. And that people will control what a lot of people do in the spiritual life. There were those on the Sanhedrin who believed that this Jesus was the Messiah, but they preferred the love of man and they remained silent. They remained closet Christians because they wanted the glory of man. They loved the glory of man over the glory of God. What a tragedy. But what I want you to see and understand in human love is the place and the part that human love plays. in this whole equation and understanding it and being aware of it. And don't try to transfer phileo-romantic or value love over to your understanding of spiritual love, which is, as I said a while ago, that's the natural thing to do because I know the flesh needs very well. What we want to do is have an understanding of spiritual love so that we can have spiritual love dictate here and dictate in the romantic love and dictate in the value love. So this is deals with the three categories. Now, let's deal with spiritual love. Let's deal with spiritual love for a moment. Get some things down about spiritual love. Spiritual love. What is spiritual love? Spiritual love is loving as Christ loved. So let's take a look now at spiritual love. We studied it as a new commandment. We studied it as a force. We studied it as a category. And now I want to take a look for a moment tonight at title. The title or designation of spiritual love. So let's just go through some of the reasons why we're calling this spiritual love. First of all, point one, the source. The source of spiritual love is God. So I'm going to put one. Now we're dealing with a title. Why are we calling this spiritual love? Because the source, the ultimate source of spiritual love is God. Now if you will, open the scripture with me to 1 John 4. Open the scriptures with me, first of all, to 1 John 4. You know, I tell you what, for five chapters, this book is packed. I spent several hours today just working on prayer in 1 John. But let's look at this. 1 John 4, and all we're going to read is verses 7 and 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So what I'm calling spiritual love is because its source is God, and God is spirit. God is spirit. Its source is God, and therefore God is spirit. Therefore, I call it spiritual love. But let's read it now. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So a lot of statements. This epistle is about love. And we're going to study it eventually, but I want to get through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 first. But now, let's just talk for you about this one little section. Beloved, okay, are we talking to believers? Yes. Let us love one another. That's the new commandment. For love is from God. And, you know, I want to talk with you as a pastor. I talked, introduced tonight about righteousness and judgment and dealing with each other in righteousness and judgment. It's understood, and Paul was mistaken too, because Paul would say things and people said, well, Paul, you're just saying that, you know, do we sin to grace abound, and you're saying that we don't have to do this and that. And no, you're misunderstanding. And I know I'm going to be misunderstood, but I'm here to communicate with you only. And you're the only ones I care about. If you misunderstand, you come talk with me. But nowhere in Scripture do we have here, let us, Ephesians says, let's see if I can do this. Let us deal with each other in righteousness. For God is righteous. Now, is God righteous? He's absolute perfect righteousness. We know that. But we don't find a commandment or even an inference that we are to deal with each other in righteousness. Now, am I saying, therefore, or even implying that we should not be righteous toward each other? Does anybody misunderstand me saying that in this church? No. Then what's going on here? What's going on here, people, is that in a heat of pressure, and this is where this love comes into play. It comes into play when we've been wronged and hurt. With this love comes into play when somebody is out of the plan of God, really. If we draw the bottom line of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13, it's when somebody has sinned and failed and let me down, in my marriage, in my work, in my social life, in the church, wherever it may be. And over and over and over, that which should regulate how you and I are going to deal with each other is this love. This love is going to do it. Now, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Now, it says, everyone who loves God is born of God and knows God. The one who does not know God, the one who does not love, does not know God. Now, I want to ask you a question. Other than saying the unbeliever, the person who's never accepted Christ as Savior, that person doesn't know God. But other than saying that, to help us understand First John, who else doesn't know God? I'm sorry? The carnal believer. In other words, it's you said that the carnal, the flesh. Use that word and you got it. The old man. That will help you in understanding so much of John. Because he's going to sound like saying, if you don't ever get out of line, you're not saved. The difference is righteousness. Now, who will never, in a sense of understanding now with the framework we're looking at now, new man, old man, who will never be unrighteous? Huh? Did you grade? You know, nobody's going to grade you. Who? New man. The new man will never be unrighteous. Now, let me tell you something, people. First of all, those of you who are married, single, in life, let me tell you something. The new man of your husband, your wife, your friend, people in the church, people at work, they will never, ever sin against you. Ever. And that's who you're forgiving, and that's who you're loving. And that's who you're going to be with forever and ever and ever and ever. When I'm in eternity, when I die, and Jim Passmore, who's died before me, and Jim Passmore and I are in heaven, I want you to know something. I will never, ever see or know his old man. Ever. Has nothing to do with eternity. Has nothing to do with not being with him eternally. I'm to deal with him and with each other, and we're to deal with each other on that new man basis. And if Jim hurts me, it's not the new man hurting me. And I've always got to know that. If I think for one moment it's the new man, I'm going to get angry. But if I can immediately say, that isn't Jim hurting me, because Jim is in Christ. And this isn't a mind game, dear people. This is thinking in terms of our eternal estate. This is thinking in terms of loving one another, even when I don't want to. It may look like those things are happening, but no, he will never hurt me. You will never hurt me. I will never hurt you, the new man. The flesh will always hurt you, even when everything's going well. It's going for the satisfaction of the flesh. But the new man will never hurt you. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves, spiritual love, is born of God and knows God. This is why when you and I love, when you and I have spiritual love, we are in keeping with our position in Christ. We're born of God. And that's the love that flows through us, being born of God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Problem is, they claim several things in John. One, they claim to know God. Two, they claim to love. And they didn't do either. They didn't do either. They don't understand these things that are going on. So point one, spiritual love because of the source. The source is God. It's like spiritual gifts. They're from the source is God. Secondly, power for spiritual love. Power for spiritual love. Here's where we combine the new commandment with the Holy Spirit. The power of spiritual love is the Holy Spirit. So we come now to its source is God. The power of this love is God the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I hope, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. All right, Romans 5. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, I want to close with this. Right here is the kicker. There will be no spiritual love flowing from the new spiritual creature who is not empowered with God the Holy Spirit. That's why it is so important that every Christian knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How to be saved from sin as a believer, delivered from sin, delivered back into the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why I over and over that we recover the filling of the Spirit just like we recovered our initial salvation by faith. As you have received Him, walk. Christ, in dealing with the church in Revelation 3, to get them back, He said, remember how you received it at first. Go back and do that. Faith. Trust. We trust God, the Holy Spirit, to do what He will do, and He is to empower us and to pour this love through us. It is essential. This is not just unimportant truth that we can just, you know, well, I know you don't really agree with that, but it's like disagreeing or getting along with people on Salvation One. People, I can support any missionary who is going to go out and teach that people are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But when it comes down to understanding how to be filled with the Spirit, this is the second great important issue. How do you feel? Because if I'm ever in a turmoil, and even in life itself, and I don't know how to be filled with the Spirit, then the love that I'm going to produce is going to be from the flesh, and I'm going to think all the time that that is the love that God wants. And that's why I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give it all kinds of psychological names. I'm going to call it hard love so that I can deal with you on law. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of different kinds of love. I'm going to talk about different kinds of forgiveness. I'm going to talk so that I can justify, because I want it to just go along with my flesh nature. Understand, spiritual love will contradict the flesh nature. Your flesh nature will not want to love as Christ loved, because we don't want to be made a fool of, and Christ is a fool on the cross. The Bible says so. It's foolishness to the world. A foolishness. And I don't want to look foolish in life. You don't want to look foolish in life. But I promise you, if you love as Christ loves, you will look foolish. But that's all right. Our Savior looked foolish when He was redeeming me out of a slave market of sin and from eternal suffering. He looked pretty foolish. And I'm so thankful for it. And the love worked. The love was that powerful. We should desire this love. As Paul says, pursue this love. This love is so powerful. In my basic series that I want to start, and I don't know how I'm going to do that because we're going to do something else for Monday night, but what I show them is this, that in the battle between God and Satan, and man is brought on the scene, and Satan comes in and breaks the fellowship through sin and death, and now Satan controls man. Man, if you ever, what does it mean to be saved? Well, you look at it. We got to satisfy and propitiate the righteousness and justice of God. We can't, because we're already dead over here. So this we can't do. As far as man is concerned, he's dead. He's under condemnation. He has an old sin nature, and that he produces personal sins that have to also be taken care of. Plus the fact we're under the domain of Satan, and there's nothing we can do about it. God demonstrated His love and sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Look what love did. I want to show you this in closing. This love is so powerful that it satisfied and pleased God. It released man from the domain of Satan. It took care of the sin problem by bearing the judgment of the sins on the cross. It took care of the death problem by bringing us life. And I want you to understand something. Every time, every minute you live and this love pours through you, these three things are happening experientially in your life. You are pleasing God, you are overcoming sin, and you are keeping arms raised Satan from entering into his world and his cosmic system. That's how powerful love is. It did it at the cross. It'll do it in your life moment by moment. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to examine these truths about the love that your Spirit pours through us. And love, Father, that sent your Son to die on a cross. A love that caused him to look foolish. And a love, therefore, Heavenly Father, that can pour through us, flow through us. It isn't us. It's just love that draws men to Christ. It's our purpose, Heavenly Father, to fulfill this goal of this love flowing through us in our marriages, in our assembly, in our work, social life, every area of our being. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Anytime you have questions on these things, please let me know.
Thank you.